Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. We have a very fun episode today, folks, where Robert Carey is joining us on the show here. Robert is a really cool dude. He's worked on 007 books, Red Sonja, Aliens. He's done so many Batman in the Shadow. He's done so many crazy things. And, you know, he's an absolutely wonderful guy. He's coming all the way from Ireland. We know we Skype in. We have a good time. This episode, you guys can look forward to us talking about his work, of course, geeking out about Aliens, but talk about creativity and, you know, respecting it. And as artists, we always respect and what it's kind of like working in the comic book world a little bit with everyone trying to help each other and all the fun times that we have and just so much fun, inspirational and motivational stuff for fellow artists in this episode. And of course, a lot of geeky things too. And we do get pissed off about Mass Effect 3 a little bit, but besides the point. So really, folks, hope you guys enjoy the episode. And of course, if you guys want to listen to more interviews that are out every Monday or reviews when the occasion arises, we do a review every now and then. Tune into new episodes on Mondays where you guys can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or comiccronicle.podbean.com. And make sure you guys subscribe because it helps us greatly. Well, also helps us greatly if you guys hashtag us to hashtag the Comic Chronicle Podcast or hashtag Comic Chronicle. You know, it helps us out greatly on social media, folks. We thank you so much. And without further ado, the end of this intro thingy and my talk with Robert. We're recording. Robert, welcome to the show, man.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Of course. And I do got to say, though, I've had people from around the world on the show before. France, London, all this. But you're the first guest I've ever had from Ireland.
Take that as a great honor. Thank you very much.
Of course. And I was like, it's always interesting to talk to different people from across the globe and whatnot too. And of course, because we got Game of Thrones and everything like that, but as we just talked about before, but you know, the thing is what is it like in Ireland right now? Like, it's just like, I know it's not really comics related, but like, what is life like in Ireland? Because I don't ever get to talk to too many people from, I know what's going on in London with Brexit and all that, but like, what's going on in your neck of the woods, man?
Same as anywhere else. Hence, prices too high. Homeless people. There's not enough housing for homeless people. Mm. You know, there's a huge, massive divide between, as they say, the haves and the have-nots. And but it's Ireland, so if it really gets too much, we have a pint in our hand, then it doesn't really matter that much.
Fair enough. I like it. I like it. It's just one of those things where you don't really hear about Ireland too much anymore, unless someone's poking fun at you guys, which I'm like, wait a minute here, what's actually happening there? It's like Canada, we have no idea what the hell's happening.
Ireland is amazing. Like, it's a lovely spot. Like, I mean, the weather's shite, but the people are nice, and the food is good. No, the food's great.
Yeah. I dig it, dig it, man.
I say, it comes to the crack.
Yeah? Well, like...
Not the...
Damn it.
The Irish crack. C-R-A-I-C.
Yeah. You gotta be specific on now and then, because I'm like, ah, shit. So people could be like, wait a minute here. Oh, man.
No, if you're looking for a nice, relaxing, good holiday, Ireland is a nice spot to get to.
I like it. Okay. That's one of my destinations I want to go to before I die, sort of thing, if the world's still standing in 50 years and I actually have money. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, dude, that's one thing. We're competitive with any other expensive country. We are, especially Dublin, it's very expensive.
Really?
Yeah, very. I think we were comparable to Tokyo at one point.
It's got to be historical stuff on there, man. It's got to be like, it's got to be historical. Because there's no way in hell that you can go in and be like, well, it's Ireland. And it's like, well, it doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, it's historical. Like, oh, okay, that's how you charge a per penny. But, yeah. But I do gotta ask though, Robert, is what is it like being an artist, especially like a comics artist that you do? Like, what is it like being an artist there in Ireland? Is it different? Is it hard? Is it like just mostly freelancing sort of things?
It's easy.
Is it?
But I've found it easy. But I mean, I could be doing what I'm doing anywhere. I could be doing it in the arsehole of Alaska as long as I've got an internet connection.
Very true. That's the beauty of modern day technology, is that you're able to do it. But I was wondering if like people were very judgmental and I was like, oh, he's in Ireland, so why are we going to want to hire him for us? But I mean, you've done some pretty big name work.
I've never experienced that. Mm-hmm. No, not to say maybe it was a factor in some sort of decision making things that I wasn't privy to, but I've never ever experienced people like, oh, you're Irish, fuck off.
Yeah.
I think I was lucky enough that the Irish comics community is phenomenal. It's so inclusive. It's so just happy to help each other. And there's a, like, the, if you want to break up between professional and kind of indie and self-published thing, like, Ireland is exporting some incredible artists and colorists and writers. And anyone who has any kind of claim to notoriety or fame or column inches or whatever, they always give it back. There's not one person I've seen who hasn't come back and helped develop the scene here and give inspiration or advice or something. Mm-hmm. Like, there's Declan Shelby, Will Sliney, Stephen Mooney. Like, it's just... The comic scene here is amazing. It's vibrant. It's also very self-sustaining, because as an island, and we have our own con scene, and there's a Dublin Comic Con that's on once or twice a year. Mm. They have a spring show and then a summer show. And that's always packed, and it's always full of people willing to spend money to support comics, and people who self-produce books and would launch out one of these conventions like they always do. Particularly well, people just love to support comic here.
Yeah, which I've seen a lot of that shit. Where I've heard from friends of mine who have mentioned, like, "Oh, I go to cons when I," and they've said they've gone to a Dublin con. People who like in Marvel, DC, whatever it may be, or artists or actors and stuff like that, and they say Dublin con is one of my favorites. Like, it's not my top number one, but it's one of my big favorites because it's just so much fun there and it's so much entertaining. And they always say that too. Like you just said, the people are great. They're also supportive and whatnot too. Like, I've heard so many good things about the Dublin Comic Con there.
I have to say, I love it. The last one I was at ended up doing there was the after party thing. Ron Myers was there, and he seemed to have a great time. And he was a legend. He's so funny. He likes his Guinness now.
Yes.
And even last year we had Manu Bennett from Arrow.
Yes, that's right. And
a lot of business then gets conducted afterwards, and there's a few secret projects in development because of Dublin Comic Con and its appeal.
Okay. I dig that, though. I really dig that. I love how it's supportive, because I hear often how from people sometimes where it's like, oh, it's a different country, so it can't be as good as the Americas. Or it's like, oh, it must be a little bit maybe rougher because, you know, they all start in America. And I'm like, pop off, you idiots. Like, it doesn't make any sense why people say that too often. But that's why when Dublin comes around, Dublin just smacks those people in the face of like, hey, fuck you, get out of here. It's like, you're done with it here.
Thing is, what we lack in, like, sheer volume, I think we make up for in enthusiasm and just passion.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, I've been to New York Comic Con several times, and it's still my favorite convention, just for the pure insanity of it.
I love that. Like, you're not wrong, there is a lot of that to it. It's fun, but yes, there's a lot of insanity.
It's mental, but it's the best kind of, it's just people there wanting to be involved with comics.
Yes.
And I mean, I know comics, there's always a negative side to it, and there are some fucking scumbags on the internet who like to deem what they consider comics to be comics, and anything outside of that is, you know, not worth your attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody has a right to enjoy their type of comics.
Yeah.
And what I've seen, like, you can get lost in the microcosm of Twitter and social media and just be barraged with all this negativity. But my one piece of advice would be to someone is to get out to a convention. Because you see, that's where genuine passion for comics is. You see people there, they've made the effort to make their costume, they've made the effort to print out their portfolio to get advice on. They've just got out of the house to enjoy comics.
Yeah.
And for some people, a lot of people, especially this day and age, have a social anxiety or all sorts of mental issues that make the idea of leaving your house can be overwhelming.
Yes.
And to see so many people at a convention just being somewhere where they know they can enjoy what, you know, gives them motivation to get out of bed in the morning. I mean, conventions are amazing. And that's why Dublin Comic Con as well for me is extra special, because it involves a lot of people whom I've known for years. I know a lot of the organisers And I've seen it go from an idea to, oh, we're doing it. It was out at a shed out by the airport.
Oh, shit.
And then they moved it into the city centre to a big auditorium place. And it's just, you know, it's a convention run by people who love comics. And everybody there is there to enjoy comics.
I love it.
And Dublin, as much as I do love Dublin, but the UK comic scene is incredible too. I for my first kind of foray into comics was through the UK indie scene. With an actor or with a writer called Cy Deaton. And that was an amazing experience, and then getting to do some of the UK conventions like Top Bubble and stuff.
Jeez.
Like the UK is a phenomenal amount of conventions that are worth your time.
That's true. That part is true. I fucking love that, man. I love it. Robert, you put it so perfectly. Like, honestly, you put it perfectly. And I like to say Comic-Cons, when you go, are like the Thanksgiving that everyone actually wants to be at.
Yeah. Well, like, it's a celebration of comics. And, if I can avoid tabling, I will.
Yeah.
I like
really?
To go as a poster. I like to just go. For me, I have to decide. Depends on. I'll make a few quid at it, grand. But I also like the stress free of, you know, not having to cart around a portfolio or a feckin' banner and being able to walk around and enjoy the convention.
Yeah, that's. I'm honestly looking forward, because I myself am a comic book writer for an indie startup company, and we have a fair amount of fans of the series I do. I'm honestly kind of not looking forward to that time if I ever get a chance to go to a Comic-Con and be a guest in there and have to worry about all that shit. Like, I'm kind of nervous about it, to say the least. That's why, like, I don't know, like, I'd want to go to the cons, but I do want to be more, I love it more. I'm with you on this one, Robert. I love being a patron more, but I'm waiting for that phone call one day to be like, oh, you got to be this. Like, oh, shit, this is going to be now stress incarnate, to say the least.
Don't get me wrong. Like, there are huge benefits to tabling as well. Like, last week, I just got home from a convention in Malta where I was a guest. And it was my first ever, you know, they paid to bring me over and the hotel and the whole lot. I was like, I'm going to feel like a rock star.
You're like, yeah, this is a highballing right now. Like, yeah, everyone's going to be jealous of me. I'll put off a few texts. You're like, yeah, my hotel is paid for. Yeah.
Well, for me, it was even because it's early November and I'm so used to shades of grey outside to seeing an actual sun.
It's true. That's true. You're like, what is this weird thing in the sky? Oh, shit. Yeah, that thing's around this time of year, too.
I'll put a little kudos in for the Malta convention. It was incredible. I've never seen convention organizers so committed to making sure the experience was amazing for everybody, like for the guests and the congoers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they broke their backs making sure everything was right for everybody.
That's amazing. That's awesome to hear, because I hear so many times from people, off the record, of course, so I won't say what con or the name of the person that told me to avoid getting in trouble, is, you know, you hear these people who just don't give a shit. They don't care. And they're like, the guys, like, people working there, guys and gals, are just like, oh, whatever. But to hear that, that's amazing. Like, fuck, I want to go so bad. I want to go to Ireland bad, but now I just want to go to Dublin bad for the Comic-Con.
I'd say it's worth it. But again, it's only a 10-minute drive for me, so...
Yeah. I kind of live on the west coast of the United States, so it's kind of a little bit tough, to say the least. I think that's a 20-hour flight, if I remember right. Yeah, that's the problem. And then if you want to talk about money, that's a debt for, like, 2 years.
Flights to New York, for me, it was 7.5 hours. And that, for me, was borderline just... I don't do well. I don't enjoy planes. I find them very uncomfortable.
Oh, no. Oh, so that just had to be the most terrible thing. It's like, well, how long is the flight? Oh, 7.5 hours. Oh. You got any sleeping pills here? Because I'm going to need them, folks.
They're heavily regulated here, so I couldn't bring my own.
Oh, God.
That's what I looked at.
Oh, man. Robert, I'm curious. I'm very curious, though, Robert, is I do like to talk about people's origin stories on the show because we could go on about Ireland forever. But I want to get to know you a little bit more, man. Like, what is your origin story in the comics? What is that thing where you're like, it was that small moment when you're a kid, hell, maybe even a teenager or an adult. You never know. What's that thing that's like, you know what? I want to be an artist. I want to create. I want to do this thing. And what was that thing that showed you?
Well, I got an internship at Oscorp, and I got bitten by this spider that had pencils for legs.
Oh, damn. Continue. What happened next? What happened to Gwen or Mary Jane? I heard about them, too. They were involved in the situation.
I got sent to cease and desist and had to come up with a new origin story.
Oh, shit.
No, I've always been into comics. Like, my dad was into comics. He was into a lot of older UK comics. Mm. In the UK, there was these comics called Commando that were kind of based on World War II.
Oh.
There's another thing called The Hornet. The first ever comic I remember having looked at was an old X-Men comic. Now, I can't remember which one it was, but I remember it's an old X-Men one. I know Liefeld drew it.
Okay.
And it was when the X-Men were based in Australia.
Oh. I think it was
a panel taking the piss out of the Phoenix because it was this large group shot of all these random aliens. And that's all I remember of it, and I've never been able to find it since. Not that I've looked too hard.
But, yeah.
My first comic I ever bought was a Dark Horse kind of collected thing, like DHB Presents, I think it was, that had a comic in it, an Aliens comic. It was the first part of Aliens Labyrinth, which was done by, and now I'm drawing a fucking blank on his name, Killian Plunkett.
Yes, yes.
Who then I looked into, studied animation. I'm talking 20 years ago of when I made the decision of it, but as far as I remember, his art inspired me because I knew he went to Dunleary College. Mm. And I remember when I finished secondary school, or high school, if you want to call it, I wanted to go to Dunleary Art College, and I went for like 2 weeks, and then I couldn't for reasons, so I had to work.
Mm.
And that kind of got me out of college for a couple of years. And then I was like, no, fuck this. I want to do something. So I went to animation college for 4 years. And then after that, I was just kind of pissing about, freelancing randomer shite jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Years. And then about 6 years ago, I decided to fully invest in becoming a comic book artist.
Hmm.
And I poured all my time into it. Developed into getting my art. I had done some small indie books and stuff and self-publishing for the last 10 years.
Mm.
But 6 years ago, I was like, I was getting better and I could see improvement in my art, but it wasn't at a rate that I could see myself getting proper kind of a mainstream book. And
mm-hmm.
like, I looked at art, I love art and I love drawing, but I also love being able to pay my mortgage.
It's helpful to eat, right? It's always that nice thing to be able to have a house or apartment.
As they say, I'm built for comfort, not for speed.
Yeah. I love it. That's amazing.
But, so my decision to kind of go full on into comics was some early success, some not so successful. But, my big kind of break for me was winning Mark Miller's Talent Search 2 years ago.
Oh.
He did it on his forums, The Miller World.
Mm.
I think the one I won was the last year. But he did it on his forums. He did a talent search for I think it was four artists, like four colorists, four writers.
Oh, shit.
And he would pay, he selected, I was one of the artists, and I got to work on a Super Crooks short.
Oh.
And so it was a bit kind of daunting to where, like, something Lionel Francis you had worked on and kind of made amazing.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute here, you want me to do this? Like, hold on.
And then after the Miller World thing, I got to do a Phantom book. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with the Phantom?
Vaguely. I'm vaguely familiar with the Phantom.
The dude that was in Defenders of the Earth.
Ah. Yeah, that Phantom.
Yeah. The Ghost Who Walks. I got to work on an original story for that, written by Stephen Mooney, who is kind of a huge deal here because he's fucking legend.
Yeah, well, fuck yeah. You should, yeah.
After that, I was working in a studio for Hasbro doing storyboards, well, more revisionist work on storyboards for a Transformers animated show.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was there, I got asked by somebody to work on Aliens Resistance.
Which, that had to be something for you, because if I remember, like, it was Aliens Labyrinth, and if I remember right, that's still the Xenomorphs-style thing there. Hey folks, Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you guys today. Do you guys like reading comics? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you do. What the fuck am I talking about? Then you guys, if you're in Arizona, which a good majority of the fan base is, shout out to the ones in Canada though, you guys can go to Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, located at 5801 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. I gotta say, folks, I've been going here for a long time now. I've been to a few different comic book stores in Arizona in my 6 years of living here so far, and this may change due to the recording nature, but whatever. So I love going to Drawn to Comics. I really do. Ken, who runs it, is amazing, fucking laid-back dude. He's a wonderful guy. He's been on the show, ladies and gentlemen, before. And it's a really fun place to pick up the book. So Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, get yourself a box, you know. Go in, maybe just check it out. It's a fun place to escape into. His work, all the workers there are fucking wonderful folks. They really are. It's just like family at this point, at least they are for me. And it's a fun world to go into. There's collectibles there. There's toys. There's comics. You know, and you just get your box and reserve some books and whatnot. We've had people on the show who've written and drawn comics, you know. Go in and pick up their work, folks. Jesus Christ. It ain't that difficult. So go to Drawn the Comics in Glendale, Arizona, folks. You guys can check them out also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Now back to the show. And, like, what was it like taking on Aliens? That had to be amazing.
Oh, yeah, well, it was one of my absolute dream jobs. Yeah, I mean, Aliens is still, you know, top five movies. Aliens for me are the best kind of sci-fi designed creature.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir, man. I've been saying this shit for years, since I've been a kid and watched Alien movies. Like, they are truly something amazing. And so I'm happy to hear that you were a fan of that. It wasn't just a job, but so you are a fan too of Aliens.
Oh, like Die Hard fan. Well, not when I say Die Hard, like, my level of fandom in anything is put to shame by anybody standing beside me. I just have so little commitment to anything.
Fair enough.
That if I like something, I like something. And I hate gauging someone's level of, you know, I'm more of a fan than you. Well, it's not. It's how much it fills you. Or, you know, everyone is a different jar with a different leaser account, if that makes sense.
It is. You know? I get it. I hope the fans get it, but my fans are pretty smart, so they should know, but shout out to you guys.
You know what I mean? Some person might have so much space that they need filled or want filled. I have very little space that needs to be filled. I'm very easily satisfied, you know?
Meanwhile, like there's... Huh?
My favorite film of all time is Commando, and oh. I generally say if a movie narrative is slightly more convoluted than Commando, I tend to zone out.
I dig that. I've never heard that in my entire life, but I think that's amazing because of that. Like, that's uniqueness, and that's uniqueness of style and whatnot too. And fuck, Robert. I've honestly, working in film like I do in a few jobs, I've never heard anybody ever say my favorite film is Commando.
Because everyone else is a fool then. And their taste is questionable.
We're all stupid Americans. I get it. It's fine.
Don't ask me what my favorite Batman movie is.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God. You opened the jar. I wanted to talk about Aliens, but before we get to that shit. One, before we get to Batman 2, I really dig how you still kept and you kept going for it, man. You really did. So this is the nice Dakota coming out right now, Robert, before we get into the Batman thing, because I'm probably going to be pretty pissed. I'm like, Robert, why? But I think it's amazing. So people at home, take that to heart too. Aliens, we're going to talk about it right after this, because what the hell is your favorite Batman movie, man?
Batman and Robin.
Ah! Why, sir? Why? Okay, you have like 5 minutes to defend yourself on this.
But that's the thing. I don't have to defend myself. The people's problem is that they think their opinions matter. They don't. Your opinion matters to
it's true.
If someone says they like a film, and if that information causes you to have some sort of synaptic fucking meltdown, just go outside to have a breather and look at yourself in the mirror, because your fucking priorities need to change drastically.
I'm honestly telling you, man, I agree with you on it, not blowing you or anything like that. I'm agreeing with you on this. I am just giving the fans reaction at the moment because I know I'm going to get some shit for it. And I know you are too. And I'm like, oh, Robert, you fool. You've opened the floodgates to the internet.
And I've done a cover for Batman and the Shadow, so I think they would have given me the job if they knew this information.
I think they probably would have given you the job even more if they knew this information, knowing the state of affairs today. So you're fine. You'd be like, this guy did the cover. What? He's a fan of Batman and Robin. Give him all the covers because people are going to look at this man.
I will tell you why, Fred. I understand every complaint about it, and I agree with it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible movie. Story shy. Some of the special effects are ropey. But, like, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I love how it's, like, every element of it is chaos.
Yeah.
And it just forms a perfect storm of mess.
Yeah, they tried to turn from Tim Burton to the 66, and it just didn't work out too well. They're like, let's put the fun of 66 into Tim Burton style. Like, no.
I think, like, it's kind of on the same lines of Batman Forever, but it kind of has a bit of humor to it. Batman Forever is a little too bleak, even though it's, you know, all neon and has a great song. I'll give that to Batman Forever.
That's true. I was going to say it is neon. I'm a fan of neon, so it works.
George Clooney is my favorite on-screen Bruce Wayne.
That's not a bad choice at all. That's seriously not a bad choice. Like, it's...
Christian Bale did not like him as Bruce Wayne. Didn't like the Batman design, the outfit design for the Nolan movies.
All right, I dig that. It's okay to me. I always dug his villains more though in those movies. I seriously did. I was like, Batman? No, it's all about Scarecrow. It's like, fair enough. But it's like, I think it's just one of those things when we get into the Bat fandom. There's just so much to it these days too, and it's just so much. But that's the nice part about it is I think there's just so. I really do want to talk about aliens. Don't get me wrong, but there's just so much with the Batman fandom these days. You can choose whatever you want. It's like a library. So you can have your fandom. You like.
It's like an ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's perfect.
You can take your flavor. Like, there's no... It's like there's no right or wrong to it.
No.
There is what you like and what you don't like. And the thing is, like, if you don't like something, don't buy it.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be a part of your life.
Exactly.
You know?
You can go back in time and go to the 80s and 90s, or you can go to the damn, like, you can go to the 66, or you can go to the 2000s, you can go to the Batman's now, you can go to just the comics.
You've rewatched the animated series.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Batman Beyond, by the way, my first Batman. Batman Beyond, like, shit. You could go to that. You could go to The Batman, which was a show that was highly underrated, might I add. But it was so fucking... Did you ever watch that cartoon?
No, I never got to see it.
It's called The Batman. It's such a weird... It's like a modern day...
I remember the side of his head kind of went from the forehead straight down to the nose.
Yes. And Joker kind of wore a straitjacket for a little bit of the time, and Clayface was like a cop.
Vibrant yellow on his costume.
Yes, if I remember correctly, yes.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one. The Joker... I thought the Joker looked deadly in that. That was the Rastafarian kind of inspired one.
Yes, he was like all like big mouth, and he had that straitjacket for like a couple seasons or something like that, and he had no shoes. That was his thing, like he had no shoes at all, and like Clayface was his best friend that was a cop and shit like that. Like, that stuff was amazing. Such an underrated show. So you can have that. But that theme song, though, was metal as hell, though, in the first season or two. But you can just jam out to it. But the thing is, so that's like, there's just so much to it these days. And so what I always tell people is like, who could do complain, like, yeah, you do have so much to choose from. You're absolutely right. I really dig that. I'm going to steal that analogy from now on, Robert. I hope you know that.
No, take it. Everything I say is copyright free.
Woo!
But, like, if you... I can understand if you don't like something, and if someone is selling something, and then you buy it, and it's, like, really fucking shit, and you hate it, then fair enough, like, I don't like it, don't buy the next one. But you choose to let this come into your life.
Yeah.
And I think people should be happier if, you know, they, if you don't like something, go find something you do like. You'll be happier in the long run. Mentally, you'll be happier. You know, it, just embrace more of what makes you happy. Don't wallow in these kind of self-destructive... I mean, a lot of it can be narcissistic as well. And I do understand, like, for me, the last time, I think, where I truly felt hurt as a fan of anything, it's the last time I learned not to get so invested. Not get invested is the wrong term. Like, there is stuff I absolutely adore. But trying to take a step away from something if it's not to a standard or it's not what you expected. But remember the ending to Mass Effect 3?
Oh, shit. I did not expect you to mention that. Oh, man.
But for me, that was the epitome of fan expectation and fan outrage. I signed a petition then.
Oh, did you really? That you?
Ah, Jason, that fucking ended. I because years invested in that, hundreds of hours,
yeah.
And then we were promised you will not be given a color-coded ABC ending. We got color-coded ABC ending.
Yeah, we did. Oh, we did. Oh, I remember being so. I remember. Oh, I was so hyped for that. I watched the trailers all the time on my iPod when I had it, because that was when this was the iPod 2. And so I was like, oh, I was incredibly hyped. Watched E3, watched G4, that channel G4 that we had over here. Like, I watched the hell out of that, and I played the hours and hours and hours. And so, like, with you, so dedicated through 1, through 2, and then my buddy and I got 3, and they said, okay, we're going to play it, and we're going to meet up at the go to school the next day. And we're going to talk about it. When I saw his face, he was so pissed. I was like, no!
Yeah, I mean, I went through it all the DLCs, Shadow Broker, the whole lot. Ah, man, it was just, it was an actual punch to the gut.
Yeah.
Physically ill at how awful that ending was.
Yeah, it really, it's like, it's such a sore spot. And like right now, we just hit every gamer listener right now, because they know. They feel it, because if you're a true gamer, like, at least I'm 22, but it's like, if you're a true gamer, at least around my age or older, Mass Effect 3 was that thing. It's that sore spot. It's like that scar when the ex-girlfriend or boyfriend stabbed you. Like, oh yeah, that time.
For me, like, I'm 36 now, and that would have been around when I was around 29 or 30 when that came out. I think that was 2012? 2013?
Was it only that long ago?
Maybe, yeah.
It felt longer.
No, because I think we're hitting the 10 years on... Wasn't Mass Effect like 2007-ish?
With the power of the internet, we shall look it up right now. But...
I mean, I could, but I'm not.
I'm curious. It's going to kill me. But yeah,
I
mean,
I doubt me now would be as affected by it. So maybe just... age has numbed me to it. Maybe I am actually talking bollocks and from a place of ignorance.
Maybe. I mean, okay, it did come out March
6, 2012. Now, when I talk ignorance, I'm talking about my whole outlet on, or my outlook on how to appreciate or digest kind of pop culture.
Maybe. A part of me wants to say, I think it's because... as artists that we are, I mean, I'm a writer. I don't draw or anything like that, but I do build. I build a lot of stuff for film. I write for films, comics, all this other jazz. Like, I didn't take the time. I've worked those 14-hour days and $10 fucking $2 on a movie set and all this other jazz. And so I think the thing that we're feeling isn't really, like, old age or anything like that. I think as artists, we don't like disrespecting things as much as we did now that we're in the business of making art and making worlds and such, because we know deep down, like, on the outside shell, we're like, oh, this blows. This is terrible. This sucks. But then deep down, you're like, no, they, you know what? There's a lot of people who spent a lot of time on this. They worked really hard.
Below the exterior, we can see the blood, sweat, and tears that go into it.
We can, because we've been
sacrificed.
Yeah, it's like when some people talk, like, give shit about a lot of comics, like, especially recently, too. And I'm like, I can't really hate on comics that much, or game, like especially some of the games coming out recently. Like, I can't really hate on some games because I just know. And my friends are like, "Oh, what the fuck?" But I'm like, "Listen, I'm the artist here. Like, you got to realize here, this was probably spent so many times, like so many years in development, so many months just creating, and so much tears probably shed and blood going into it, like." I guess it's maybe because we have respect. So deep down, people may call us assholes, maybe, or deep down, we have respect. People may call us assholes, but either way.
I've been very lucky that I've experienced very little negativity online or at any show. I'm lucky that I've met just genuinely nice people who are genuinely just... I mean, if I've had a difference of opinion with something, I'll listen to them. It's like, if this is what makes you happy, then good. So long as...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You are actively going out of your way to harass or intimidate or ruin someone else's day, then I just go enjoy what you enjoy. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Like, life's too short.
Exactly, and it's like, why hate on the stuff that's allowing us to escape and maybe inspire and motivate us? That's why I hate when people knock on art, no matter what form it is. People are like, it allows us to escape, it allows us to motivate ourselves or others or inspire ourselves or others. And in a world, especially these days, when goddamn we need that, like we really do. And so, like, one of my fans I have on Instagram, she's really supportive. She does a lot of, like, porn art. Like medieval style porn, a really good cartoon work, don't get me wrong, and she does D&D stuff too. And people are like, "Oh, how can you be supportive of her while she's so supportive of you too?" And I'm like, "Because she's a fan and she's creating art." And they're like, "Well, you don't want that on your name brand." I'm like, "I don't care, it's still art. Art is art. It's fine."
Please tell me she's done Knight of the Pound Table.
God damn it! Robert, he broke me! You fucking broke me! I was just like, inspirational, right? And you're like, boom. Oh, God. I know she listens, so she's probably going to be like, oh, damn it. I've slept on this idea so much.
She can get it to there, Bagsy. You can have it free.
Ah, damn it. Oh, shit. All right. Yeah, it's been a while since someone broke me on the show. Fair enough. God damn it. But, oh, man. But, yeah, so it's like, you can't really. And it doesn't help if my coffee's kicking and so I'm actually awake now. But, I know, it's like, shit. But, so it's one of those things where you're like, all right, this is amazing. And you can't knock art. Like, you seriously can't. Maybe it's because I'm an ex-stripper porn artist. I don't know. Still, you can't knock art. But...
No, just a very cold, analytical view of it. And, if you want to, at the end of the day, if it's from any of the big two, all right, your relationship with them is consumer. And, that's the bottom line. They don't care about the artistic integrity of it. They have numbers that they need to reach, the print, produce, pump out. They just care about the numbers. And, if you don't like it, then don't buy it. That does so much more and says so much more than you've been online saying, "Oh, I didn't like this because he didn't do this." And he'd never do that.
You know? True. Oh, yeah, it's true. Like, it is one of those where that's why I love indie works. And when I was able to finally be an indie comic book writer, to say the least, a freelance writer technically, but like when I was able to put my foot in the door and now working on 4 comic series, third one's coming out, it should be out actually after this recording, after this is actually put on the air. But it's one of those scenes where you look upon it and there's such a family feeling to indies. And I say indie, I'm talking like even IDW, Image, and all that too. Like a lot of the writers, a lot of the artists, and people who do their own companies like myself and moi, and a little bit like you too. Like we do our freelance work and indie work, but you know, we care about the fans. We sit there and listen to people. Like we always do. Like
What's your book about?
Which one? Because I got a couple.
Are is it a continuing series or are they individual books? Or?
They are continuing. They're all continuing series except for the fourth one, which I can definitely not mention anything about because that one's still in early development. It's going to be published, but it's still being worked on right now. But the first two I could talk about. Well, when this comes out, the third issue should be out. So, okay, the first two. The first one is like Young Power. It's called Young Power. It's teenagers mixed with teenage rebellion mixed with Star Wars. They get their own like little world and such like that too. But as you can expect, if you give teenagers their own little world to escape into, like their own dimension, futuristic tech, they don't have to worry about poverty or anything like that. Shit's probably gonna go awry. So that's what that one's about. Operation Kaiju Shield is where you mix giant monsters and you put them in towards the end of the Vietnam War. Because what was that?
Sold. Concept already. So your elevator pitch got me on that one.
Well, thank you. And it's, so that one, just, people have been loving with a fucking passion. That one, there may be toy lines, I don't know. But that one is, a lot of people love it. And so it's like, cool, put giant monsters in there. Like, well, what happened? Like, well, the war went to shit. People, it's to say, it got rough. The third one coming out is Super PD, and it's what happens where it's a street-level superhero series where you have a police officer, she has powers, and they're going after other people with powers based in my home city of Chicago. But it's a realistic, grounded world where even Uber drivers are speedsters. Or no, like Pizza Hut delivery people are speedsters. So it's like everyone's used to it, all that other jazz like that. So it's one of those things where it's really realistic, grounded world of people with superpowers.
That's my favorite kind of superhero story to digest.
Really? The one where it's like,
yeah,
Netflix?
I love very grounded. I'm not a huge fan of the term, but grimdark, I do quite like that. Oh. I like the grittier take on superhero stuff.
You would probably like this one then, because it is a lot of, it's adult, it's teenagers adult, it's not made for kids. It may get off that vibe, some parts of it, but it's not. Like, there's murder in it, like, and especially in issue one. But nobody wears a costume. Nobody wears anything like that. Like, the only thing close to it, I think, is because I gave one of the guys, the main villain in there, I gave him, because I love the look of the classic Punisher with the black and the white go-go boots. So I gave him white combat boots. That's the only thing. And he wears, like, black pants and a black trench coat and, like, a purple shirt, and he has blue hair. So it's like, he's going to wear white go-go. I'm like, what color do I want? It's like, he's going to have boots or shoes. I'm like, let's make him boots because he's going to be all over the place and shit. And so it's going to be like, oh, white go-go boots. So it's like, why not? That's the closest thing you have to a super suit. That's it. Everyone else is just wearing regular clothes or policeman uniforms and stuff like that. Like, it's, oh man, I can't wait to see that out. I've pitched it to a few people who I know that work at Marvel and DC and stuff like that, from people I've had on the show and some indie friends of mine. And I've let them read the first couple of issues, and they're like, holy shit. I'm like, thank you. But I do love, like, and I've listened to fans all the time, like, all the time, on because it's digital only for free even right now, too. We're getting new issues published here pretty soon again. But I always listen to fans. Like, I always listen to people who comment on Instagram about it, send me messages, email me, tweet at me, whatever it may be. Like, I listen to fans, and I look around, like, other indie folk too, and other freelance folk, we always listen to fans. We always reply back. There's no, like, you never get a reply back. They always reply back to people. And plenty of people I talk to, at least because I don't try to, like, to get assholes on the show, you know, you get those people where it's like, oh, shit, we're going to reply back. And it's like, oh, you give an input? Okay, I may not be able to do what you want me to do here, but hey, here's a little bit, tidbit of knowledge or something like that happening in the future. Like, it's such a family, and it's so beautiful. Like, even IDW and Image, they may be businessy every now and then, but there's still a lot of people who do work for them. They're very laid back and loving, and I love the comic book community for that, you know?
Anybody I've worked with, I've worked with a couple of people at Boom, Dynamite, and Dark Horse, and I've been lucky because the editors I've worked with have been incredible. But so is the colorist and stuff, and I haven't gotten to work kind of with anyone at Image yet, but Image is something I would love to get involved with.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of good things there.
Because, like, the majority, as we say, the indie scene here, like it's either they generally are big two, or it's self-published, or a smaller indie publisher from here or the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, like just the level of involvement of people trying to help each other. Like, there's like, oh, I found this really cheap printer, you can use him, and say, I sent you, oh, this guy does their banner, he'll do it for half price, you mention my name, and, you know, it's just also, you know, everyone just helps each other.
Oh, that's it. I love it. Yeah, it's, we're all a community, like, even artists help each other. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, there's no way in hell, as an artist myself, like, I wouldn't be able to do what I do without people helping me, and I wouldn't, and I help out friends all the time. Like, you have to help each other out. Like, if you don't, you're like, it's my way or the highway. Yeah, God bless you, you're gonna laugh.
What? Like, I recently did several issues of Bond for Dynamite.
Yes, you did, yeah.
And I only got that through the recommendation of an artist.
Get the fuck out, really?
Yeah, he put me forward, got me in contact with the editor, and I was like, shit, I owe you several points.
Several? Man.
Ugh. 007 points, that's all you get.
And there, like, if you sit down and think about it sober, it doesn't make any sense. But after you have a couple points, then it makes more sense.
I owe my Irish to somewhere I'd work at Tahito Me afterwards.
Oh, God. That's, well, if you're going to do the stereotype, do it right, I suppose.
Which is funny, because I don't actually drink that much.
Really?
I might drink, like, once or twice a year.
Oh, shit. I say that as I had, like, a bottle of whiskey and Coke the other last night. Like, oh, yes, yes. I'm not going to lie to you. I am a non-classic American where I don't like drinking the U.S. stuff that much, but this is no bullshit. I love Guinness.
Guinness is all right. You get a good pint, it's a good pint. You get a bad one, it's you and the Jacks for an hour at least.
You're not wrong. It's very true.
I've had some dodgy Guinness, and it literally comes out the exact same the other end. Has the white head on it and all.
I need you to do a show on Guinness, like a whole show on this shit, because it would be amazing. Like, what happened? Hi, my name's Robert, and this is my take on drinking. What do you do it that often? Once a year. So this is a once-a-year podcast. Oh, that'd be perfect.
I once did, to annoy a friend, do you remember back when we had Bebo?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah.
And I had a gallery that were pictures of different poops.
Yes.
But I went to an interview at a college, and I showing them my online gallery. just went into that gallery.
That's amazing.
I got accepted only because the person interviewing me was a huge fan of the Total War series, and we kind of vibed on that.
Oh, fuck. That's amazing. See, you never know who you're going to run into, man, but that's fucking beautiful. I love it. Robbie, you're an amazing human being, man. You must be protected. Before we go, because I know we're coming on the show here because I know you can't last too much longer here, but I do want to say, man, aliens, we got to cover it because we're two huge aliens fans, and I don't get to talk that much about it. The only time I ever did was when I had Ron Mars on the show, the guy who helped write Batman the Aliens book for DC Dark Horse crossover a while back. So,
Ron, actually, when were you talking to Ron?
Oh, God. 3-4 months ago now?
Oh, no, because me and him are working on a book at the minute together.
Get the fuck out of here! Tell him, he might not remember me, I don't know. We had a really good time, but it might have been 3 months ago. But tell him Dakota from the Comic Chronicles says hi, next time you talk to him.
It's still in early development, but it's, you know, I'm currently doing up the first few pages.
Oh, yes. I don't want you to say anything more because I don't want you to get in trouble. But, yeah, like, wait.
I've already put up some concept art, so I can kind of... I think I can say it's supernatural action horror set in Roman times.
You have hooked me. I think I remember him mentioning this, actually, on the show a while back. Okay, you've hooked me, though. You've really hooked me. I'm going to have to release another episode. All right.
Yeah, I think our sales pitch would be pretty much the 13th Warrior mixed with Dog Soldiers.
Why can... You've already hooked me, man. You don't need a double hook into me here. Shit, you already got my money. Do you want my college fund that's non-existent, too? We'll take it.
Mike, to be honest, Like, I'm getting a chance to work with Ron. If I was asked to illustrate a fucking tax return, I would, if it was Ron.
Oh, fuck. I mean, you're not wrong in that sense. He's, one, an amazing dude and superbly cool and laid back. Two, incredibly talented. You're not wrong. Like, yeah, I honestly was surprised he agreed to come on with the show because he's just so superbly great.
You wouldn't be if you'd met him because he's, I mean, obviously, you know, he's so laid back and so just fucking classy.
Yeah. And so you're like, you feel like you're out of place with him?
Well, I'm pure class.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to insult you. It's like, hold on here. But man, oh, I love it. But man, how was it working on Aliens? Because like I said, I do want to touch upon this shit, man, because like I said before a minute ago, I don't get to talk about it that much because Alien fans are few and far between these days. So I like really, like, what was it like touching upon that shit, dude? Like, you got to bring those xenomorphs to life and in a really cool series too.
I got to design some androids. I was given the freedom to do some, like, I was given a fairly vague, not vague, but I was given a brief design wise of what tone it had to keep and you know, make sure, because it's set after isolation, and so keep it visually kind of in tone with that and with the first movie and stuff. So I was given, they were just like, that's it. So, like, a lot of my designs were given the okay fairly straight away, and I got to design, like, the armored synthetics.
Oh.
I got to design a new alien type.
Oh, that's true, there was it.
I got to design, even, it wasn't in the script, I was like, fuck, I'm getting a chance. I threw in, like, instead of a pulse rifle, I put a pulse SMG in, you know?
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you know what? You contributed to the lore, and that's what's amazing. And I'm somewhat jealous of, but that's what's truly amazing, is that, like, people are like, oh, he just worked on an Aliens book. It might mean that's like, no, they take this shit into account. Like, it's really looked upon, like you said, with what they were telling you it had to be of, like, it's really still respected. Like, people think there's no respect when they do, like, books based on the movie franchises or whatnot. Like, no, there's serious shit in with these guys. Like, there's some serious stuff.
I've seen a design I designed as the cover for the next series, Aliens Rescue. I needed to wear a nappy for a day. I was so excited.
Really? That's, oh.
Now, I have had a lot of good experiences from the Aliens book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it led to a lot of work. I got invited to a part of the Weyland Yutani group, who are, like, a fan group.
Oh, shit.
And, like, although I don't think I've ever seen a fan base so invested in a franchise, oh, not the franchise, not as in an IP, I suppose, you know what I say. But like, Aliens fans fucking love Aliens.
We do. Oh, we do.
What they don't like, they tell you they don't like, and what they do like, they tell you what they like. But they say it very respectfully.
Very, very much so. Like, and there's, because there's very few things we don't like, you know, like, there's very few things we don't like.
And it was an absolute pleasure at any time I got to interact. Like, there's one guy, an American guy, he's living in Dublin now, a guy called Will Robbie, I don't know, but he's just, like, maybe the biggest Aliens fan I've ever met.
Mm.
And it's just, when you get to interact with people who love the thing you're working on, and you kind of just trying to rob some of their enthusiasm, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's like, you know, and it's also like, it's somewhat kind of nerve-wracking and kind of scary, but it's also in the sense where you're like, all right, there's so much love for this thing here, and you know you love it too, because obviously you're a huge damn fan, because it's childhood, like, it was for you, it's childhood for me, and it's like, this whole childhood aspect, like, all right, my inner child is screaming right now. I need some people to keep me in check, because otherwise it's going to go nuts.
I think, like, if I had to do, like, a chart, Aliens would probably be number 3. Like, for me, number 1 is Robocop. Just, dream project. I love Robocop, like, more than any. Robocop, the 90s X-Men.
Oh, fuck,
and then Aliens.
Oh, well, you know what? Those are 3 very classy things.
But yeah, we're talking a fucking hair's breadth distance, you know. And I won't, I, like, the first place can change on occasion. Well, no, second place can change. Robocop is still number one. Sorry.
still number one is Robocop, which explains the picture on your Twitter all too well here. But Robocop, there's so much to it too, and I think, and every now and then it has this, like, what, Robocop comes in waves. So I definitely believe, after you working on Red Sonja, 007, Aliens, and you being a big fan of Robocop, I definitely think, Robert, I can see you in the next wave when it comes back up, and all of a sudden there's Robocop books again for a little bit, or I think there maybe is one or two right now, or maybe the new movie or something like that. I can definitely see you working on it. No bullshit. I could definitely see you doing it. You got the background for it, man.
I would love to, but, like, at my experience in the industry so far is, for me, when I was first getting into comics, it was all about Xerox your samples, post it to this guy, or hit this convention, blah, blah, you make that. It's not like that anymore. Like, you rarely get picked. You have to make yourself visible. You have to get yourself... It's like the dynamics now are so different than when I first was trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about making sure you have the online portfolio and you have visibility to editors, because I don't think, because there's so many people working now.
Yes.
And, like, if I was, as a fan, I wouldn't want me drawing that Robocop book. There's 10 artists ahead of me I wish would do it, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Like Sean Murphy drawing it, or JP Leon, you know?
Yeah. You know, I will give it that. They'd be amazing at it, too. You can't discredit them, but, yeah. But, you know, but there is that fact of, yeah, but it's almost kind of self-doubt in a sense. I know we're coming to the end here because I know you're on a time limit. But is we, it's, you just never know. Like, you know, just always keep it, like, if they call you, and you're probably going to say yes, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, there's no denying this here. You will see, you'll be like, well, what about this guy? But I think you may think that afterwards, but during that phone call, it's going to be like, yes. You're going to end phone call. Holy shit!
I'll pitch them. I've always wanted to do a Robocop story where Lois comes back, but in the body of Kane.
Yes. Yes.
But that, like, would have to, that would mean acknowledging the existence of Robocop 3.
It's, yeah, but that, you're one, making your mark, and two, you get to be a little bit different. Three, I think it'd be kind of fun to do that, like, for a one-time thing. You never know. Fuck. Well, I'll give it this, man. As excited you are to work on Robocop, as excited I would be, am, to be able to maybe work on an Aliens project. So it's this whole domino effect. It really is, because I'm like, fuck, man. This is one of the few franchises I want to work on. Like, working on a big two would be amazing, I think. It'd be a dream come true. But I think this work on something like Aliens, or fuck, Spawn, for that matter, or something like along those lines, or a Transformers book, like, those are my dreams right then and there.
I have to give a fucking shout out to Transformers.
Really?
Because for the last couple of years, what was the series on Lost Light?
Yeah, so the comic series?
The comic series, yeah. Lost Light. And then before that, what was the fucking run? There was a, anyway, if you look into it, the last series, it was Lost Light, and then the series before that. Now, I'm shit with, I remember names, like, horrendous, so it's not an indictment of the quality of the book. Like, it is, it's one of the best series I've ever read.
Really?
Yeah. The whole arc starts with them looking for the Knights of Cybertron, and they embark on this journey, and like, I think the run from, can't even fucking remember. It's embarrassing.
Donna, you're good.
And the series before that are some of the absolutely best written and best drawn comics I've ever read.
Shit. Man, this has been like a Transformers week, because in the past couple weeks I've talked to people from Transformers comics. So, shit. It's, I've heard, they've mentioned that too. If like the books lately have been incredibly insane, so I definitely know now that I'm probably going to go to my bookstore and pick up a few, because I've been trying to get the money to be like, okay, I'm going to buy a shit ton. So I just have, like, I don't want to be, like, sad, like, so, all right. Well, man, we are coming in, huh?
Oh, no, yeah, no, but the Transformers run, I remember I picked up one on Comixology.
Yeah.
And it was one of the big collected ones, and it was going for cheap. I was like, right, I'll go through that. And I ended up buying, I don't know, about 10 trades.
Oh, God.
Like, it's so good.
That makes my heart fucking beat, man, because I'm a huge Transformers fan since childhood. Like, I still have a collection of them in my workshop here in a bin. So, that is some really high praise and really selling me on it. You don't even work on the book and you're selling me on it.
I am, but there's a lot of appreciation for it because Nick Roach, you know the artist Nick Roach?
Yes.
Who did a load of Transformers, like Last Stand of the Wreckers and all that.
Yeah.
He's Irish and his art is incredible. So obviously we enjoy him and his Transformers books.
It's true. It's true. Like, it's classic. We could go on for so much longer about Transformers books, man. But I know you gotta go. We're keeping it to the end of the show.
It's More Than Meets the Eye and then Last Light or Lost Light.
Okay.
You definitely check them out.
I'm actually writing them down right now.
So and then Last Stand of the Wreckers and Sins of the Wreckers.
Okay.
Nick Roach.
Stop selling my childhood, damn it! It's like, stop it! You're making me want to spend more! It's like, I gotta go get an oil change and shit. It's already gonna be expensive. Definitely, man, thank you, Robert, for coming on to the show, man. This has been an absolute blast having you on here.
Yeah, man, I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Before you go, though, good man, I do gotta ask, is like, hey, want to give you some followers, give you some more shout-outs, people know, because there's people in the business who do listen to each episode. What's your social media, man?
Twitter, Rob Carey Comics, I think. Maybe.
Something like that.
Just Robert Carey. And find a picture of a handsome man drawn, that'll be me.
Fair enough. It's a very, very shiny, handsome man you got on there. But...
I'm on Twitter and I have a Facebook, Rob Carey, as well. If anyone has any questions about comics production, any kind of, you just want to get into comics, any questions revolving comics, shoot me a message anytime. I'd be happy to talk with anyone.
Love it.
I mean, if you're also looking for someone to draw a comic and you're paying well above the standard rate, count me in.
They had to put that little tidbit at the end there, like, wait, hold on, though.
I mean, I'm pretty busy, but, I mean, if you're paying me more than the last one, I'll tell him he can hold on for a bit.
Fair enough, I dig
That's
it.
That's a joke, just so anybody knows.
I may actually contact you about some stuff, because I may or may not have a job or two for you, Robert. I'll put that on the record right now, I may or may not, depending if the producers say yes.
All right, well, I'll put this there, right? I am very busy.
Yeah, figured.
Last year, within the Irish comics, I found out that someone I was close to was an absolute dickhead.
Fair.
Very toxic element within the industry. So, I not that I believe in karma, I don't, but I do believe in the more positive energy you put out, hopefully inspires people to just try better, you know?
It's true.
So, I have started to help small press and the indie that helped shape me and gave me so many chances. Last year I did like 4 covers or promotional art for an indie book for free.
Oh.
2020, I'm hoping to do one a month.
Oh shit, okay.
So if anyone has a book coming out over 2020 and it's either it's self-published and stuff and you just want to get a little bit of fan art or a cover, now, obviously, time permitting, but I will be able to do at least one a month. I know I've only like 3,500 Twitter followers. It's not much, but get in contact with me, and if time-wise it can work, people can get in contact with me. I'll do them a cover for free, promote their book,
mm-hmm.
You know, just as a little way of saying thanks.
I dig it.
There's no comics without indie comics.
Awesome. Okay, I'm definitely. I got to make a few things, but I'll let you know on it. And that's a shout out to everyone out there. Like, we love supporting fellow creators and whatnot. Folks at home, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram or at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter. Robert, man, thank you again for coming on the show, man. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to come back anytime. Sweet. Just, you know, just give us a shout.
Fair enough. Alrighty. And to everyone at home, stay classy, Weyland-Yutani.